Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Oops, I Forgot. Guest in the studio. We have Spike Polite, and he's with the band Sewage, New York City. And Mystic just put out his new album. And welcome, Spike. How you doing today?
Wow, glad to be here. Thank you for having me on. It's really warm here today in New York, finally, after being trapped in for all this time with this COVID-19 epidemic going on. Kind of frustrating, but I guess it helps me because then I sit here and I work on new music. There's nothing else to do.
Very good. There you go.
We're actually recording new stuff now. We've been tracking it out and we just have to get our drummer in, but somehow they're not making it from Manhattan to Brooklyn. And but if they did, I can just go to have this other drummer up in Seattle. They could probably just track it, just get it done.
Very good. Well, we have an engineer up there in Tacoma, Washington, who does a lot of things too. So, Philco, he's been with Mystic Records since the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. So, where there's a will, there's a way, you know?
I know. If my... if my rhythm guitarist and drummer would actually just come to the rehearsal thing, because we don't have COVID-19, I could just make it again, you know. But yeah, I guess I'm probably better off and send the track over to Fluff and see what happens. And
there you go.
But
you know, this virus thing isn't going to last forever, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And there's not one case of it in the county where I live. There was one, and that person passed away, and there's been no new cases in over a month. So the governor of California is thinking about opening up the entire state, but, you know, I don't know. There's been a lot of cases in Los Angeles and the heavy congested areas, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it is a good time to reflect on values and things that, oh, man, I've been forgetting to do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for artists, it's always a great way to find some creativity and write some music, and you know, you guys can always Skype and get together virtually on the computer if you know, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, we'd have to virtually do it, but yeah, I don't think I live in Brooklyn and I walk to bass player's house and I'm there and we're running it and tracking it. But we put it to the internet, yeah. Online, because I'm going to do more tomorrow on it. I have this one about Trump. The new song. Yeah.
Well, you know, I hate politics. I can't stand any of them. I think they're all a bunch of crooks. And my grandpa always used to say, if you have a friend and you want to keep them, don't discuss politics.
Yeah, as you don't. But this was just the end of the world song with the environmental stuff.
Very good.
But now we have COVID-19, though. Even
right,
the stuff I was
right.
complaining about is now something new to complain about.
Oh, well, you know, there's always something going on. I mean, it's nothing new. But I would like to introduce our listeners to Spike Polite's band, Sewage, New York City. And here's one of his songs titled Punk Religion, out on his new release.
Punk Religion!
Tired of it all. We were thinking, like, basically, you got to take control back of your life, and don't lick the stamps, and, you know, like on the assembly line, and you got to break out and be yourself. Don't be like everybody else, kind of thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah. It was actually we did that. There was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum has a documentary on punk. They actually filmed that us in our studio playing that song. And then we had another one about this IRA bank robber guy. He was a local guy. And about him, and then we did a Ramones cover. And they felt that doing that was pretty interesting. But the exhibit, they only showed all the punk rockers in front of CBGBs. You know,
nice,
talking about punk started in New York, not in England.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, so, and 9-4. But with the Spike Lee thing we did, that Summer of Sam movie, they filmed that at CBGB's too. That's, we went to a better studio and actually recorded these things, these songs.
Oh.
That's what you just listened to. It's good. Yeah.
Son of Sam, that was quite a case back in the 50s. Right?
No, man, that was 77. Punk rock.
Was it in the 70s? Oh, punk rock.
Summer of Sam, the Son of Sam, yeah.
Well, he was in the 50s, they used to call him Red Light Bandit because he used to go over pretending he was a cop, and he would pull people over and then murder them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. Well.
You didn't know that about Son of Sam?
No, I thought he just walked up to the car doors and seen the people making out and killed them. I don't know what inspired him, but actually I met him late years later when
really?
I was transferring. Yeah, I got transferred to that place he was at, and I forget. It was probably like towards the end of my time away, and he was a religious person, very into Jesus and everything, and he was but he never made his parole, that guy. Him or the other guy that from there's another guy that was passing who was I was with, and he's from the Amityville Horror movie. That's
a
new movie about him, they would deny his parole and he couldn't get out. And there's some
Oh boy.
Yeah, but,
I still have
to do that.
Yeah, I see that Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, actually still alive. And
yeah,
it says
he
was born in Brooklyn, New York,
1953. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's written a couple books.
But see, he's been living the quarantine lifestyle a lot longer.
Right?
He had time to do that. Like I told you, I had time to start, you know, doing more music stuff here lately since we can't do a lot of things we used to do.
Right.
It's like everyone's in parole now. And everyone's,
That's how I kind of look at it. You know, I've never been to prison, but I've been to county jail and city jails a couple times, and I would just roll up my bed and put my back to those bitches, and I'm telling you, there are some nasty women in those jails, in prison, but in those jails, and it's like, yeah, I don't even want to go into that, but I remember one kept nagging me, so I waited till she got real close, and I grabbed her through the bars and banged her head on my bars.
I was wondering.
Like, go away, go away. Let me see. So it says, what? Go ahead.
You had the Orange is the New Black experience, huh?
Well, you know, and it was funny because pretty soon all these girls, cops kept me on lockdown, I guess because of that. They wouldn't let me go out in GP and in city county jail. There's no yard or anything, so they kept me on lockdown. And all these girls would walk by and they'd leave me little presents on my thing. It's like, Oh, yeah, because I told this girl, she's going, this is my jail. And I said, F you, it's the man's jail. If it was your jail, you wouldn't be locked up, right?
Wow.
And then she's nagging about the fact that she got caught with a baggie that had some residue in it. And I said, you're so freaking stupid, you can't even get rid of a baggie. I mean, good God. And this is your jail? That's the one I cracked. So anyway, yeah, she was something. But anyway, L.A. County Jail, let me tell you, I was there for 2 weeks. You don't want to be there. These girls are insanely crazy. I mean, I just mind my own business. There's only five of us white girls, and the rest are all black and people of color, you know.
Yeah.
Only two of us were blind. And pretty soon, somebody from behind, I'm standing in the chow hall lane, and somebody slaps me from behind. I spin around, and there's like 100 people of color behind me. I go, which one of you bitches did that?
Yeah.
So then the guards throw me up on the wall, and I don't know. It was some crazy times, but, you know, you got to stand up for yourself no matter what. You know, I mean, just because I was a skinny little white girl, they thought that, you know, and they had us outnumbered, they thought that, you know, they were going to pull some muck. And I'd never been in any situation like that before. I was in with all the really violent ones because of my charges. Discharging a firearm within city limits and...
but it's a gun, though.
A few other things, and it's like they had no evidence, there was no witnesses, and I actually walked out 18 days later, and my cheese I threw up on the light was still on there. When I opened it, I'd never had one of their stupid bologna and cheese sandwiches. Ew, and it's like it stunk so bad I threw it up on the ceiling and it hit the light. And the guard says, you're not getting store for 2 weeks. I said, oh, well, I don't have any money anyway.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know it was like a welfare bag they'd give you. But I got one after a week with a toothbrush and some tobacco. They used to give you tobacco in those days. And I didn't smoke cigarettes, so I used to roll them up and give them away to girls. Just, you know, ones that I talked to and liked. But anyway... So, Son of Sam, the .44 caliber killer, he pled guilty to 8 counts of murder, second-degree murder, attempted second-degree, and he has 6 life sentences. Woo.
Yeah, but is he, I'm not sure. I think he actually got out finally. I think he finally made it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think he finally did.
Let me see. I don't know. Anyway, we're not here to talk about some stupid guy who went around killing people just because they was making out, right?
Yeah, we were talking about music. Yep, that's right.
Music, yes, we love music and. You know,
I wondered what else you had off of that album you were playing there that people would know. And this latest link that you have up here, the Tumblr one, that's the best way everyone can hear what we're doing now? Or do they have to use the phone on it?
Oh, yeah, the little demo link, sure. And we have another guest that's joined us in the studio here from Brooklyn, New York. And who do we have on the line? He's not going to speak. Hello?
Me? I don't think they can hear me.
Oh, okay.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, really? This is Liz from Sewage.
Hi,
she's
Liz.
The guitar. She plays guitar.
Oh, wow. You know, I called this number because I was trying to get the link on the internet, and I even created a profile, and then I saw the number, and I called it, and we've just been sitting here listening and conversing, and I didn't know you guys could hear us, but I'm so happy to be on.
Spike, what's
and
up?
We got Carl, the drummer,
yes.
And
up,
Liz,
Mark?
The guitarist. And yep. We're both gang vocals of Suey.
Very good. Oh, it's so nice to have you join us.
Oh, yay. Wow, I hope we didn't say
anything too stupid. We didn't know you could hear us.
We're here discussing the Son of Sam.
We're enjoying it,
though. And the Slasher, remember the Slasher? He'd walk up to you and say, hey, bitch, I'm the Slasher. That was the same era. Terrible.
There is one thing, though, Candy. If you could turn the volume of the vocals of us talking up a little bit louder on the station, it would help. The music is good when you play it, but this one we could go a little louder because it does drop
well,
out.
If the rest of the band want to call in on separate lines, then they would be equal to volume.
Mm.
Oh, I see. Yeah, because I have us on speaker, so maybe Carl can call in his phone.
No.
Yeah, go ahead. Take it off speaker and go ahead and call in, and I'll connect you to the soundboard. And while we're doing that, I will play another song by Sewage.
Yay.
Let me see. Where is it?
Okay. Bye.
I know that I put it on here. Yeah, This morning has been such a strange day. And okay, so here we go without stumbling over my tongue. Subway Surfing by Sewage.
In operation, gas mission, let's get down.
Elizabeth.
I am. You must
be
Candace.
Good to meet you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good to meet you too.
And, you know, the other ones can call in as well. Everybody can call in on the sound, and I hook them up to the soundboard.
Cool.
Before, yeah, yeah. So if you have your drummer and your other bass player, tell them to go ahead and call in too.
I'll tell them.
And then we can have a real party.
Ask to call in. I don't know. I mean, we could. Does Ryan know that you guys are on the phone right now?
I don't know, but we're live on the radio, so.
Yeah, okay, well.
All right, so we have Spike Polite with us, who does vocal and
right
guitar. Yes, and we have Elizabeth Ruff Maldano, Maladana. How do you pronounce
Maldonado.
Your last name?
Maldonado.
All right.
Yeah.
On rhythm guitar.
Ruff is good. You can just, yeah.
Ruff, okay. And how did you get that little nickname?
Which one?
Ruth.
Oh, Liz. Oh no, that's my dad's. That's my Swiss patronymic. It's the grandfather's name and the one that we women get our grandfather's last name. You know, and my dad has it, and I have it. So that's a Swiss family name. Yeah.
Oh, Kelsey, very good.
Mountain people. Yeah.
I live up in the mountains.
You do? Where?
Way out in
I do, in California, up above Sacramento,
so
in a little bitty town called Cottonwood.
That sounds so nice.
Sacramento.
It is nice, and, you know, I like to have, every once in a while, you know, when the bands are traveling through to Portland, Oregon, I'll have them stop by and do a little video shoot in my garage, and I'll give them a copy of it and do a photo shoot for them. And it's all, you know, just for publicity to help promote their careers. I volunteer my time and my expertise in photography. And, it's a lot of fun. And we have a river that runs through it and a couple reservoirs. Mm. So, yeah, we go swimming and play a little bit of punk rock and go back and do some more swimming and play some more punk rock and family can come. People can bring their kids and stuff and just have a good time. Just a little private party, you know.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I wanna go.
Okay.
I love that it's outside of the system of capitalism and stuff, you know, that it's for friends and art and music and nature and, you know, sounds so free.
It is. It is nice and
perfect.
My house is like over 100 years old and this place was settled by cowboys a long time ago and it's fun because, you know, you get to see the deer walking through and I saw a bobcat not too long ago. She was really cute. They're only about 20 pounds or so. I thought it was a really big cat, you know. I mean, 20 pounds is nothing, you know. And I go, here, kitty, kitty. And it looked at me with this twisted look, and it took off, and it ran about, maybe 10 feet or so, and it stopped. And I could see its little bobtail, and it turned around and looked at me. And I go, hi, kitty, and it took off back into the woods.
Oh, wow. That sounds
But I've never had it bother anything. It was looking at some of my chickens, but they're all enclosed in a little, they have their little house, and it's all enclosed with chicken wire over the top and the sides because we have bald eagles and red-tailed hawks that, they swooped down and ate one of my hens, and I'm like, ew, get out of here, you pig, eating on my pretty little hen, you know? That was
right,
gross.
It's like cannibalism, right? Like two fowl eating, one fowl eating another one, that's not fair.
Well, you know, those bald eagles are huge.
Yeah, wow.
They're pretty.
It looks like you're pretty close to Nevada there. There's a bookstore over there in Las Vegas, too?
Oh, no, Las Vegas is way south. Reno's closer. Reno, Nevada's closer to me.
Yeah. Yeah, but I know there's a little punk thing over there in Reno.
Right off of Interstate 5.
Oh.
I remember driving through Reno when I was 6 years old, and I thought it was the most beautiful place I'd ever been in my life because I was from rural Wisconsin, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's so sparkly. It was so beautiful.
Oh, you're from Wisconsin. How fun.
I am. Yeah, it is. It's fun. That's why
I have a friend who's stuck there right now. We used to work together at the punk club, the Café de Grand. It was one of the biggest punk clubs, I think, actually ever. It was a two-story old Chinese restaurant, and they turned it into a punk club. And, guy, we had a blast there, but we couldn't keep waitresses. But this one girl, Kathy, she stayed as a waitress for a long time, and she's stuck in Wisconsin right now. She went to go visit her mom. And then this virus thing happened, you know, so she's stuck
there. She couldn't leave. Wow. Wow, it could be worse.
Right? Oh,
very
but
beautiful
when
state.
You have an overbearing mom.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well,
so, anyway. Love you, Kathy. I know
moms.
She's listening. Hope your mama gets well.
Yeah.
So what's it like in Brooklyn, New York? I mean, I love all the movies I've seen, Lords of Flatbush, you know, and with Stallone.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Spike and I know each other more from the lower Manhattan, like Tompkins Square Park. But, you know, it's all like Brooklyn and lower Manhattan are kind of like twin neighborhoods because we have all those more than 100-year buildings here, too, where the immigrants settled and, you know,
nice.
Latinos and Eastern Europeans and all those kind of people and stuff. So it's really cool. It's like low-rise. Yeah. I can't forget. And the Chinese and
right?
African-America. All kind. I mean, it really is the big – because it's so close to where the immigrants would come in, you know, in lower Manhattan. So that's what we have. But, you know, so what we really are is community garden district. And I've been all over the U.S. and really in a lot of places in the world, and I've never seen anything like this, where when the
beautiful.
Urban decay began and all the riots that we sing about were happening and the buildings were burning and coming down.
Right.
And then what happened was like the phoenix out of the ashes of the neighbors, all these immigrant stock and, you know, like artists and all kinds of people got together and made gardens, and we still have them, but
beautiful.
We had to fight to keep them. And now we're about
beautiful.
To have a festival where we march around and, you know, do little rituals in the garden. And we're doing it in a smaller group this year, but, you know, doing music and it is so beautiful. I mean, it's like,
it is.
You have California and the open space. And then we got open space because we got low buildings. Like there's no elevators around here because all the buildings are 6 floors or under, because we're built on marshland, so
sure.
We can't really have too many elevators. I mean, now the new buildings got them somehow, but, you know, the old buildings still don't. You know, it's all walk-up.
Well,
so I just feel like big sky, you know, in Manhattan.
Nice.
I can see the sky, the planets, the stars,
nice.
And all of that. So it's like, that's what it's like, and now we have it, can see it a lot better because the pollution is going down and people are, you know, not using so many fossil fuels and stuff, so we have fresher air. So that's what it's like right here, right now.
It's beautiful with all the flowers out, and then there's less pollution. It's actually a blessing within the curse, especially with the skies, you know what I mean? You know, Brooklyn and Prospect Heights, it's just really gorgeous, and you know, the lilacs are out. And, you know.
That's where you are right now, right?
Yeah, I live in Brooklyn.
Wow.
You're
I'm
breaking
sort of
up a little bit.
No, we decided we were. I'm having a hard time
hearing you. Are you speaking into the phone? The phone works as your microphone.
Yeah, I'm talking into it. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now better.
Okay.
I couldn't hear you a minute ago.
So basically, this COVID-19 person has a blessing in disguise, because now everybody not going out and not believing. All the things they're believing right now, like crazy. It was just May Day the other day. We have heavy lilacs and a lot of stuff. And, you know, and it's good. In fact, I was going to go play jogging today to escape enjoy
it. Yeah,
it
was
well,
the
you know, the gardens.
Eve.
Yeah. The gardens that, you know, you guys are building are so wonderful, and it helps to keep the pollution down as well. And I remember my father worked in motion picture industry, and he filmed a TV series in downtown New York City called The Survivors. And he said that the filth on the buildings from smog was horrible. And, you know, things have come a long way since the 60s, even in Los Angeles. I grew up in the L.A. area. And, you know, we had smog alert days in the 60s where we couldn't even go outside to play on the playground. You know, it was so bad. But, you know, it's really good that, you know, you're interested in cleaning up the planet and doing what you can, because vegetation helps to clean out the pollutions. And it also gives you good, nutritious food that isn't grown in chemicals.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Definitely. It's definitely a combination of trying to grow edible things. You know, we have all these, we partner with farmers because, you know, New York City, even though it's such a big metropolitan area, like we're so close to upstate, and we partner with farmers, like immigrant farmers who bring vegetables to town, and then for $10
nice.
We get this big bag of food every week. But I don't know when we'll be able to start that again because people can't really share those kinds of things at the moment. But I think it's going to start up before harvest time. I'm confident, you know.
Sure.
We'll be able to do that again. And we try to grow what we can. Of course, the rats like it too. So we have to share with the rats, or else hang the food high so the rats can't reach it. they love basil. Go figure. Like, I was growing basil, I said, somebody's coming and cutting off my basil, and I said, no, that's the rats. They just lop it right off with their little razor sharp teeth and they eat it.
Well, you know, I have a problem with squirrels. You know, I'm 15 miles out of city limits, but I have squirrels that just love my tomatoes and my cucumbers and everything I grow. So I've learned to put chicken wire over the top and make these little things so that they can't get in my vegetable garden. And my spinach kept, you know, it grows year after year after year. You don't have to replant spinach and cabbage and certain things, you know, kale.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my spinach has gotten so tall, I had an old bird cage that I used to raise doves up when they'd fall out of the fruit trees, and I'd raise the babies up and turn them loose. So I have this big wrought iron cage, and I stuck it over the top of the planter of the spinach the other day just so the squirrels wouldn't eat it.
That's good. Well, I guess they dig a little bit, but the rats actually tunnel. Like, actually, I mean, I hope nobody in an authority is listening, but of course when my cat died, I buried it in the garden plot, and then suddenly I'm seeing little kitty bones like strewn about. And I mean, I guess at least it went to, like, somebody was happy to use the, you know, don't waste anything, but they dig under. And yeah, I know.
Well, so ground squirrels dig under too. Both ground squirrels and tree squirrels, you know. The tree squirrels seem to think my attic is the best place to nest and have their babies.
Oh, that's so cute, though.
No, it's gross, because then they go in the chicken house and eat the chicken food, and they're eating the chicken eggs, and it's a never-ending battle with the varmints. But the thing that I like about what I saw on television not too long ago was a special in New York where these old-time buildings, like you said, are 100 years old, and there's a store down below, like a restaurant, and there was a lot of they showed the Italian section where these people have lived there for generations of their family. They run the Italian deli or the restaurant down below, and then they have rooms up above where they live. And it's like, wow, that is so cool, because you don't have to drive to work. You're right there, and you have everything
right.
you need. And now you guys are planting gardens on the top of these houses, these buildings. And it's like,
where
wow,
I
so
live, we have a garden on the rooftop. Yes, we have that garden.
That's beautiful.
Beautiful. Where Liz lives, she has a garden outside of her building that she runs. So for me, that's my balcony to go to. But then the sun is blaring where I'm at. You just have little plants and miniature trees, you know. So Liz is
well,
a garden on the street, at the ground level.
Yeah, Candace, when you come to visit, you can come to the garden and see, because we're right by Little Italy, and, you know, I saw your last name, so I guess you've got Italian relatives.
Well,
you can get fresh mozzarella. They make it right there at Russo's.
I make
a
my own mozzarella.
You do?
I make my
Yum.
Own, and I make my own ricotta.
Wow.
I love it. But, yeah, I would like to see the old Italy sometime. Actually, D'Andrea is my husband's name. And my mom was Italian, though. So my little Italian mama boy, she had that whip handy all the time, whip my butt.
Oh, really?
She did not spare the rod. Sometimes she spoiled me, but she did not spare that rod, because I used to get out of line.
Maybe
it
helps you be a punk rocker.
Well, actually, I was married quite young, and my husband passed away 7 years later, left me with two little kids, and I've always been a musician from the time I was, before I could go to school, I started playing keyboards and piano, and by the time I was 9, I was in the studio recording classical music. But then when I got married, I was like, yeah, I'm tired of music, you know. I want to have a family, have kids. And I went back to college after that in 1980. And then in 82, you know, I'm hanging out with friends from college, and we're going to nightclubs and dancing and stuff. And my mom would take the kids at night so I could do my college classes. I was theater arts major, and we worked on plays and things.
Where were
and
you
I went. LAVC for I was a theater arts major. I wanted to be an art director at a local studio. So anyway, we were in the new wave scene back in the early 80s. And then we went to this punk club that I ended up a year later working at and booking punk shows with like Red Hot Chili Peppers, X, Bad Religion, Social Distortion. All these people were just getting started in the early 80s. And I've stayed friends with many of them. And Mystic Records was across the street from the Café du Grand Hollywood. And I was booking Mystic bands to play. And Doug was recording them. And, you know, now I've been with Mystic for 10 years. Oh, and we just got our 90 seconds before we're due. So what is it you would like our audience and your other bandmates to know most about sewage from New York City?
We have the political aspect.
You got to speak up, Spike. I can't hear you.
Yes, like I'm saying, basically, you know, We have that song Punk Religion, which is about standing up and you know, standing up for yourself, and we don't have to throw bottles at the police today, but we do have to have this COVID-19 thing.
It's nice to have a platform to speak what's on your mind and sing about the things that are going on in your country, in your neighborhood. And Mystic gives you that underground platform.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say, I mean, I think that the Corona, I mean, I don't know, I like the name Corona somehow, but I don't like the suffering it brings.
I say your Corona, my Corona.
Yeah, right. But I think that, you know, like everything as artists and musicians like to take what good is coming out of it, which is doing more with less, which I think is a very punk thing. And I think that that's part of, I don't know, I can't speak for Spike, but one of the reasons why I like doing it is because, you know, being doing this kind of music is because you can come directly to what you want to say and you don't have to make it about the politics, but you can, and it's topical. Yeah. And it's the more than anything, it's the act of doing something that's outside of the corporate mentality, you know, that,
yes,
like you said, it's doing something that doesn't take money. It doesn't even take really any resources, except I guess for punk you want to plug in, but we've done acoustic shows too. And I love that because
I love acoustic
we did, and our drummer plays a cajon, which is the Cuban, it's like a dresser drawer that you hit on it, but you have some shakers inside. So it makes a lot of noise. And we did a show in a squat very recently for an old timer's birthday party. You know, he's a poet and African-American badass, you know. So we did this in a squat, which of course is reappropriated housing. So, you know, and we did it without amplification and it came out so brilliant. So, I mean, I think our audience liked it anyway. That you can
squat.
Do more with less, and that it's about the action and the gesture of doing something. And then the politics comes behind it because you do something without asking the corporations what you're allowed to do and what's going to sell, and you don't care. You know, you just do it. So I hope that now that we're doing Corona, that, you know, we all start doing this all the time, I hope. And also get back together in real time. And the online platforms are so wonderful because it's enabling us to get back together, but to remember that it goes along with joining in person, you know, which is what we're really about. So
Sure. And, you know, Mystic Records was founded by Doug Moody, and he worked in Chicago and New York for the major labels, RCA, Mercury, and all of that. And he broke away and came to California and started Mystic Studios in the late 70s, and he stayed independent all these years. And God bless him, he's 91 years old now. And,
yay.
Yeah,
wow,
and he's the longest running, he's the longest running independent record label in the history of the world. He won't take any corporate crap.
Yeah,
in fact, Dormy in New York, because he jumped up on a boardroom table one time because nobody was listening to him. And he said, I won't be told how to do things. I won't be told to bend to your rules. he was lucky he didn't sleep with the fishes, he says. But anyway, it was really nice talking with you all. And we're out of time.
It's amazing to meet you. And I hope our paths cross in person very soon.
They will. And you guys will have to come out here to California and check out this ranch, and we'll do a video shoot. I'll do the whole set. And if you want to do an acoustic, oh my gosh, I would love to put up an acoustic of you all getting together and doing what they did a long time ago. I mean, there's I forget the genre they call it now, but the Vinegaroons is a group that Mystic launched way back in the late 70s, and they have all those homemade instruments, and that's just so much fun. It's really,
you know, we're
really
gonna
fun.
Do Candy. We're gonna make like one acoustic song, like with still punk rock electric in it, but we're gonna make a new one for that.
There you go. Right on.
Yeah.
You can do a single.
We also need one with a kind of like a house beat under it at certain sections too, though. If we're gonna add things in, then we're gonna have to do the other one too.
That would be fun. I would love it. And you know, we all volunteer our time. You know, that's why there's no fees up front. You know, we're all musicians. You know, I'm a musician. Doug's a musician, songwriter. You know, and he discovered a lot of really famous people. And he tossed it all aside to start up with punk rock because he always wanted to give people a voice to speak what's on their mind.
Hey,
and he's been
really
a supportive thing.
Support.
Getting it out
yes.
there.
Yes, and he's been supporting it. Go ahead.
Got something, you could get something in Reno too, and then get us into Cali and off the coast. We can tour it. Yep, tour.
That would be great. You know, things are starting to open up in California because we're, I don't know, not getting any more new cases of this virus thing. You know, most people that have contracted it in counties around have recovered. There's been a few deaths, but not that many, you know, not compared to other places. And there's been more people that have recovered from it than people that have passed away. So, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Good. Thank you for that inspiration. I think that Californians are very conscientious, and I think that really helped. I wish everybody would take a page from that book.
And, you know, I saw a girl at a fast food place. I was in the restroom, and I heard an employee come in. I could see through the crack of the uniform, and she went out without washing her hands. I said, "Hey, you need to get your ass back there and go wash your hands right now."
Good for
you. I don't know
how to
beat around the bush. Right? You know, I've always been very conscientious about cleanliness, and you know, that's the most important thing right there. You know, so it's like, yeah, I was a chef for a long time in different restaurants too. And my specialty is Italiano. Anyway, I've always been very meticulous in my cooking area and my certification in cleanliness because it's number one important in everything you
do. It's good that you practiced that. It spared you from some COVID stuff. Just being in practice and being a cook like me.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, you know, we're out of time. So I want to thank you for coming on, and keep on rocking.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. We'll have to do it again and have everybody call in on different phones, and then we'll all be connected like we are right now.
We'd love that.
Cool. All right, guys. See you later.
Okay.
And don't you forget to party or go home.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, and we will see you all next time. Later days. Bye.